The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here is our next UFC Fight Night Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas. The main event featuring two top 10 featherweights. Edson Barboza squares off against Gija Chikadze, both looking to solidify themselves as top contenders. The prelims start at 7 Eastern on ESPN+, followed by the main card on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN+ at 10 Eastern. And we welcome you back to Get Up, coming to you live from the South Street Seaport. And brought to you by Chase. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. A lot to get to on the show. So we say to you, it is time to get up with Dak Prescott. His coach said he's chomping at the bit to throw a lot more. So why that is good news, but with an asterisk. Plus, Mac Mania is sweeping New England. How Mac Jones is taking full advantage of a big opportunity this week. Could he be the new QB1? And big changes could be coming for Big Blue if they don't make the playoffs. Is that already inevitable before the season starts? Our guys are going to weigh in as Get Up starts right now. And we welcome you back with the talk of football. We got 2 weeks until kickoff. Can you believe it's coming up so fast? Let us talk about them Cowboys, because Dak Prescott took part in team drills for the first time since July 27th as he continues to recover from that injured right shoulder. He completed 11 of 12 passes on 18 snaps, 11 of 11 work, and here's Mike McCarthy on Dak's return.
Rehab process has definitely been tilted, you know, to the side of caution, and I think we're seeing the benefits from that now. Dak will do more today, so he'll be closer to a full status. You know, he's a cage lion. I mean, he's a competitor. It's just really not the same answer for David. I mean, he brings that competitiveness and, you know, and expertise to not in the quarterback position, but he makes the whole practice better.
Let's bring in our guys. Dan Orlovsky joining us now, along with Adam Schefter, Chris Canty here with me in the studio. Adam, I start with you because I think for Mike McCarthy, it must be tough. You got a quarterback chomping at the bit, yet you have to err on the side of caution with all the pressure of being in Dallas and what that means. What's the latest on how they're managing Dak Prescott in this shoulder?
Well, Ryan, the regular season in the NFL, Dallas at Tampa, kicks off 2 weeks from tonight. And it's no accident that for the first time in training camp, really, Dak Prescott is getting back to full 11-on-11 drills. Hasn't done that in training camp. They've erred to the side of caution. But it's all systems go now. They know they have to gear him up and start preparing him for 2 weeks from tonight. And so, therefore, he's back at practice. And they've taken it easy on him as long as they can. Everybody knows that he may not be 100%, entirely 100% all year long. What player is? He's got an ankle injury he's coming off of last year. He's got the shoulder injury that's lingered through training camp. That may be there all the year, that he'll play through, but he's not going to miss time. He's going to be out there. He's gearing up for 2 weeks from tonight at Tampa when he will be playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
And Dan, I wanted to ask you, you brought up, we always talk about different things before the show. We send notes to each other. And one note that you brought up was that you need Dak to go to the coaches and to be honest with them. What do you need him to be honest with them about in terms of getting ready for this week one?
Yeah, build practice around what Dak needs to get ready to play well week one. The question isn't, is he going to play? It's how does he play well? And that's got to be this honest dialogue from Dak to the coaches, and they have to listen. There's three things. Number one, give me more team drills than 7-on-7 drills. Quarterback 7-on-7 is easy. It's unrealistic. It's a fantasy world for quarterbacks. Make me play in team where everything happens quickly and I got to deal with pressure and the pocket squeezing in on me. Make me practice in that capacity. Number two, get rid of the scripted parts of practice and just call it parts of practice. A lot of times in practice, and Chris knows this, hey, in 7-on-7 or in team or specific situations, they script practice. I don't want that if I'm Dak Prescott. I want to just call it. Get me as many game-like situations as I can be a part of. And then the third thing would be more good on good. I don't want to practice a lot against the scout team if I'm Dak Prescott. I haven't practiced against good talent in 3 or 4 weeks. I want our starting offense practicing it against our starting defense, because the reality is the speed difference between those two units is a huge gap. And the thing for Dak is how quickly he can get up to speed for Thursday night, 2 weeks, with the speed of a defense, with the color, with the blur that he's going to have to see, with the pocket movement. Those are the three things that I believe Dak's got to go to their coaching staff and say, I need more of this than you guys are planning on. And those coaches really have to build their practice around Dak, because their goal should be to get him to play as well as he can 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, it's a great point. Simulate game conditions. Get him ready for game action, because that's what counts. But, Chris, I wonder, is Dak the most important factor to Dallas's success for you?
Well, he's the quarterback, so, yeah, he's the most important factor. But early on, I think this defense is going to have something to say about the success of this team, because we all acknowledge that Dak Prescott is probably not going to be 100% when they kick off the regular season down in Tampa 2 weeks from now. So it's looking at the rest of the team and understanding the different facets that are going to have to pick up some of the slack from Dak Prescott, because we know he's not going to be able to do everything that we're accustomed to seeing him do. So I look at that defense that was revamped under Dan Quinn, the investment in draft capital that the Cowboys made for their first picks in this year's draft on that side of the ball. Like, they're going to have to get some return on that investment early on in this season in order to try to buoy this team and not make Dak Prescott have to go out there and win in shootouts like we saw through the first 5 games last year.
Yeah, Adam, it seems like that seems to be Dallas's plan this year. Not lean so much on Dak, but really lean a little bit more towards Zeke and really depend on that defense to be better than whatever it was last year.
Well, they're going to lean on Dak, and they're going to lean on Zeke, but they need that defense to be better. If the defense isn't better, it's right back to where it was last year, which is why they made a change at defensive coordinator, why they brought in Dan Quinn, why they drafted Micah Parsons in round one, and why they are excited about this defense this summer and think it will be better than it's been in recent seasons, which isn't saying very much. But if this defense can be respectable, again, and Dak plays the way he has, and Zeke runs the way he has, this team will compete for a playoff spot.
So, Dan, put yourself in Dallas's shoes. How do you manage a Dak Prescott heading into early season, knowing that he might not be 100%, but you got to have him serviceable and great towards the end of the season and for that playoff push that you're saying you want?
Yeah, keep him from himself. You know, hold him back from hurting himself. I would say a quarterback on average on a daily basis throws about 200 passes a day during the week of practice leading up to Sunday. Pull that back to about 150. You know, make sure that he's not getting any unnecessary throws. You want to make sure that he's right, and you want to make sure that he's ready to go play and confident mentally, thinking, I got all the work that I needed. And everything that we know about Dak Prescott is that he's a killer. Like, he is a, when it comes to his work ethic, he's an assassin, and he wants to go get as good as he can. But sometimes you got to make sure that you protect him from himself. I'd also touch on this. For anyone that continues to say that they got to lean on Zeke a little bit more, Ryan, I disagree with that. Okay, because then you're not playing to your strength. They got three receivers that are really, really, really good. And they got two tight ends that are really good players. If this team is going to go be the team that they think, it's not going to be because they turned around and handed the ball off to Zeke 25 times a game. It is 2021. We are in a pass-first league. They need to be 70-30 pass on offense. 70% pass, 30% run. There is a burden placed on the quarterback for that. You paid him 140 clams to do it. You took a first-round receiver to do it. You paid Amari Cooper $100 million to do it. Blake Jarwin to do it. So I disagree with having to hand the ball off to Zeke all the time. Dak is going to be the reason in this pass game that you go be a playoff team, not because you ran the ball a ton.
Oh, all the more reason they got to keep him safe, keep that shoulder warmed up, because that's a big split for quarterbacks. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's take you to New England. With Cam Newton away from the Patriots because of the COVID protocols, rookie Mac Jones has taken first team reps for this week to try to earn the starting quarterback job. Now, our Patriots reporter, Mike Reese, joined us in the last hour, and he had this to say about Mac Jones at practice.
One member of the team described what Mac did yesterday as special. The Giants were really complimentary. We charted every pass. We had him 35 of 40. He had 18 straight completions at one point. And there was one moment that I want to highlight. He led the Patriots at the end of practice, 2-minute drill to a touchdown, 80 yards down the field. He's kneeling on the sideline after the drill, Bill Belichick comes over, extends his hand. Maybe it's a high five, maybe it's a low five, whatever you want to call it. You know, when Bill Belichick does that, it's a job well done.
Well, that's the equivalent of any other coach dancing a jig. You got to imagine what that must feel like for Mac Jones. And Dan Orlovsky, I can't believe I'm asking this as we welcome in Lewis Riddick as well and Adam Schefter. Dan, is this Mac Jones's job to lose at this point?
It feels like that. It feels like it's Mac Jones's job to lose right now. And I'm interested. I believe their joint practice with the Giants starts in like an hour. I want to know what quarterback trots out there with the number one offense. That's what I want to know right now, because coming off of yesterday's performance, when he goes 35 of 40 and also 18 straight completions, for everybody at home, it's hard to throw 18 straight completions on air. You're throwing an object downfield to a moving target. Eventually, you're going to miss one. 18 straight in competition is so impressive. And it just seems like Mac as an individual is doing what notorious with what is notorious in New England. As a team and organization, they always surge, right? They're always a very different team in November and December than they are in September. And they're just they get better and better and better. And that's what it sounds like Mac Jones has done, has gotten better and better and better. And yesterday was such a profound moment. It sounded like such a moment where he realized there was opportunity. And I'm going to go take the bull by the horns, and I'm never going to look back. I'm interested to see who goes out with the ones. And I would say this, if it's a very even competition, one, he's been that good already. What's he going to be like in November? And two, if it's that close, I always lean on play the young guy.
Really? Okay. So, Lewis, if you're looking at this, if you're in Belichick's shoes, what would it take for you for Mac Jones to win this job?
Look, Bill is a stickler for situational football. He understands that the game always comes down to situations. I mean, that's why it's called situational football, right? So I think I would be leaning to looking at certain signposts to see whether or not this young man is able to pass those tests with flying colors and really give this team a chance to do the one thing that you hear Bill say all the time: score points and not give it to the other team. So how is Mac doing on third down? How is Mac doing in the red zone? How's Mac doing in those two-minute situations that Mike Reese talked about? And is he putting the ball in the end zone and not turning it over to the other team? Those are the kind of things that he will look for. And is he able to do it on a consistent basis at this point, given the fact that he's never played in a regular season game? Some of it's going to be a projection. There's no question about that. And see, most people aren't comfortable with that. Most people want to say, well, he hasn't done it in the regular season yet. You just don't know. Well, guess what? That's what GMs and coaches are paid to do. They're paid to project and make educated decisions along those lines. And I'll tell you this lastly, like I've said numerous different times, Bill is the very best at going ahead and making objective decisions and making it all about the data and what he sees and not about his feelings. Mm-hmm. And if he feels as though Mac is able to do that, Mac will start, whether that be week one or otherwise. I mean, he's going to start eventually. But if he feels comfortable at this point in time, that young man will be starting week one, because he is doing exactly what everyone tried to downplay during the draft process leading up to it, which is he's playing smart football. He's playing smart football with decision-making and accuracy, and that's exactly what they need up there.
Yeah, it's a great point, because they kept saying smart player, not a great athlete, not sure how this is going to work out, and many said that was why he slipped. But, Adam, I think just a couple weeks ago, Bill Belichick was making the point that Cam Newton, this was his job. The indication was that Cam Newton would start. Would he make that change at this point just because Cam is out for these couple days this week?
Well, first and foremost, Cam Newton is back at practice today. The five-day waiting period is over. Cam Newton will be participating in the practice today with the New York Giants. So we have that to watch and monitor. Number two, it's not as if Mac Jones just lit it up yesterday for the first time and the Patriots said, boy, we have this special quarterback. He has looked that way throughout training camp. They have been highly impressed with what they've seen throughout the summer. So it's not like all of a sudden there's some new decision for this team to make. Mac Jones was going to wind up as the starting quarterback of this team. The question is, how soon was he going to do it? And maybe Cam being away with 5 days this week accelerated that timeline some. But the fact of the matter is, Mac Jones was on track to win the starting quarterback job at some point in time. It's just up to Bill Belichick to decide when he wants to do that. And again, the more he sees, I think the more impressed everybody in New England is right now.
How many times has it been said on this show, the best ability in football is availability, and Mac Jones is there, and he's showing out, and all reports were that he was tearing up the Giants during this practice yesterday. And guys, speaking of that, when we come back, Daniel Jones talking about the Giants, clearly under the microscope this season, the one thing he's got to improve on if he and the Giants are to have any success. And Justin Fields, he's going to start the season on the sidelines for the Bears. Hear why one of our experts thinks that is the right call.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right. Big news with the Giants. Back with you on Get Up. And Daniel Jones, boy, is he under pressure. He's going to get his first start of the preseason this Sunday against the Patriots. Now the two teams have been practicing, Patriots-Giants, holding those joint practices. And the impression coming out of yesterday's session is that Mac Jones, the rookie, was outplaying Daniel Jones, the Giants' offense. They've been up and down. So let's bring everybody back in to talk about Big Blue. And Adam, I start with you because this is a team that had championship aspirations. And I know some fans are watching the show saying, what are you talking about? Well, they spent a lot of money trying to build this team into a potential contender this offseason.
Well, Chris documented the losing that this franchise has done in six of the last 7 years, lots of double-digit loss seasons. And that's for one of the proudest franchises in the National Football League, a team that's won regularly. And again, it comes back to the quarterback to a certain extent, of course. And when Daniel Jones was coming out, there are people across the league who said at that point in time that he was always going to be good. They wondered if he could be great. Now, that's up to him to determine whether or not he can be great. But you've got a good quarterback. You've got units on the team that have underachieved. You see their win percentage compared to the Jaguars, Browns, Jets. That's how we're talking about the Giants. That's the reason that at one point in time, Louis Riddick was interviewing for the GM job. You wonder how he would have done as the GM of the New York Giants. I certainly do. And so it's a situation where this whole team has underperformed and disappointed, and that only goes on so long before people begin taking a real close look and wondering what they can do to change it around.
That is an interesting question, Adam. What can they do to change it around? So, Chris Canty, I turn to you. So, who is under more pressure in this situation? Because the question is, do they sweep a lot of these guys out if they don't succeed this year? Is it Daniel Jones or is it Dave Gettleman, who has surrounded this team with so much talent, seemingly, to make this team into a real contender?
Well, Ryan, for me, it's Daniel Jones. I mean, they took him with the sixth overall pick from 3 years ago, and they've spent the majority of this offseason trying to surround him with the requisite talent that it takes to be a productive quarterback. I mean, they went out in free agency and spent big money on Kenny Golladay, getting him a number one receiver, that X guy that's outside of the numbers. They went out and they used a first-round draft pick on Kadarius Toney. They signed Kyle Rudolph in free agency as well. Like, they've surrounded Daniel Jones with a lot of weapons, and they've seemingly taken away any excuse that he would have as to why he wouldn't be a productive quarterback in 2021. Like, the time is now for Daniel Jones to step up. Like, we keep waiting for him to graduate into a player that can elevate the talent around him, and it just hasn't happened up until this point in his career. 2021 is the season that it has to happen. Otherwise, the Giants are probably going to be looking for a new starting quarterback going into 2022.
Okay, let's turn now to Louis Riddick, the potential Giants GM candidate that Adam mentioned earlier. Louis, I have to ask you, though, if you were watching this team, if you're running this team, what do you feel that this team needs to do to get to those aspirations that they've been seeking?
Well, look, I agree with Chris Canty as far as Daniel Jones needing to take his game to another level and elevate those around him, especially given where he was drafted and what kind of expectations are attached to someone who's drafted inside of the top 10. But, look, we've been talking about quarterbacks all along, right? All morning long. And the number one thing we keep talking about is keeping them protected. Keeping them protected Correct. Via pass protection and keeping them protected via being a multiple type of offense that they can turn around and hand the ball off to someone and take some of the pressure off of him. And that's what they haven't been able to get done. One, because they have misplayed and misevaluated the offensive line position since he's been there. That falls on Dave Gettleman. And two, Saquon Barkley, although he's a wonderful talent and someone who I think has superstar potential, he has been injured recently, so that's number two, and he hasn't had him. So I think this right now, Daniel Jones' success and or failure will be, although it's on him because ultimately you're responsible for your own performance, it will also be an indictment on the entire team building operation in New York right. if he does fail, because it's not going to be just on him. The offensive line has been mismanaged in epic proportions. To epic proportions. They had their pick of every single offensive tackle in the draft last year, and they picked Andrew Thomas, who was by far the worst one. The worst. Mm. The worst. That is on personnel. That is on coaching and development and utilization. That is something that John Mara is going to have to take a hard look at overall. It's not just Daniel Jones, but what has happened around him. And that is something that is going to take a while to play itself out this year. And I will tell you this. Look, I know John Mara said he doesn't want to give them a win or else type of ultimatum this year. But he also said at the end of last year, we better be trending towards being a competitive football team because, Ryan, you've already laid it out. And Chris, you laid it out as well. This is a proud franchise that has won Super Bowls, man. They have multiple Hall of Famers. They play in the biggest media market in the country. You aren't supposed to be losing double-digit games over and over and over and over again and looking like you're going the wrong direction. This is a big, big, big time year for this football team, not just Daniel Jones, but this entire football operation, and deservedly so.
Yeah, even Adam Schefter's dog is barking at you. Hear, hear. Dan Orlovsky, jump in.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a make or break year for a lot of people. I'd say Daniel Jones's season comes down to 10 plays. 10 plays will determine if this season is a success for him or not. I want Daniel Jones to play as smart as he is. I mean, he's an incredibly intelligent player, but there's 10 plays this season, certainly in his first 2 years and going back to his college days, where it becomes this moment of, I call it panic. You know, where it's this, what am I going to do with the football in this moment? And for such a guy, for a guy who's so smart, he makes dumb decisions with the football in that moment. Get rid of those, and he's got a chance to build upon that. It's a make-or-break year for his offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, as well. Stop playing so stagnant. Utilize him as a runner. Attack the middle of the field more, and get Saquon and Kadarius Toney the ball 25 times a game. If they do that, they got a chance to be better on offense and better as a team.
Okay, but be better? Will that be good enough for this team? They got a lot to fix in New York. All right, guys. Talking about Chicago when we come back, because Bears fans, they may want Andy Dalton to start the season on the sidelines, but you'll hear why sitting Justin Fields early might be a wise move. It's coming up next. Get up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's play a little game called Likely or Unlikely. Are these situations likely or unlikely to happen? So, Lewis, we start with you. Jameis Winston will lead the Saints to the playoffs. Likely or unlikely?
This is likely, man. Did you see him the other night? Look, I know it's his preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a former number one overall pick in the entire draft who now has found the perfect place in New Orleans, matched up with Sean Payton. This is a football team that has one of the best offensive lines in football, one of the best running backs in football, one of the best overall defenses in football, and one of the greatest cities to play football. Saints are going back to the playoffs.
Man, he was throwing lasers the other day. Dan, Aaron Rodgers defends his MVP award. Likely or unlikely?
I'm going to say this is unlikely, and it's not because of Aaron Rodgers' performance. He's going to have another monster season. It's just really hard to repeat as an MVP in the NFL. I don't think we've had one since Peyton Manning did it many years ago in his early 30s. I think guys like Patrick Mahomes have a better chance. Josh Allen has a better chance. Dak Prescott, with all the talent they have in Dallas on offense, have better chances to win that MVP than Aaron Rodgers repeating in the back-to-back.
Chris Canty, Andy Dalton leads the Bears to the playoffs. Likely or unlikely?
Ryan, the eight ball says unlikely. It ain't going to happen for Andy Dalton. First of all, he's going to give way at some point to Justin Fields. They drafted a guy with the 11th overall pick. He's going to start, and you're probably saying if it's not early on in the season, it's going to happen by the time we get to December football going into the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't see Andy Dalton doing that. I still can't get the Andy Dalton that we saw with the Dallas Cowboys out of my mind this year, and that would have been good for the worst QBR in the NFC North last year. So, yeah, I don't think Andy Dalton's going to make that happen.
Nobody has confidence in Andy Dalton. There's somewhere in my mind where I think he wins three of the first four games, and everybody's like, what did we think all that time? And by the way, ESPN's Football Power Index isn't optimistic the Bears are going to return to the playoffs, giving them a 26% chance to make the postseason. That ranks 12th out of the 16 teams in the NFC. The Bears last made the playoffs in consecutive seasons in 2005 and 2006. So let's talk about this quarterback situation, if we can call it that. Bringing back in Lewis, Adam, and Dan. So, Dan, I'll start with you because I think everybody is just thinking it's a matter of time before Justin Fields makes it to the field. How long can Andy Dalton hold off Justin Fields in your mind?
I don't really believe that Andy Dalton's performance should have any indication on when Justin Fields gets on the field. For me, it's about when the offensive line proves to Matt Nagy in this offense that they're capable or somewhat capable of keeping Justin Fields from getting injured. Because that's, for me, it's when, what, and why. When is he getting on the field, Justin Fields? And then what and why are going to be the determining factors of getting him on the field? Because I go back to last year, Ryan. This was a football team that was starting with Mitchell Trubisky. They were 2-0 on the road at Atlanta. And in halftime, they benched Mitchell Trubisky, who had up to that point had 6 touchdowns and 3 picks. They were a 2-0 football team. So they benched him not because they were losing, and they benched him not because his play was terrible. They just made a decision, and that's what I want to know from Matt Nagy is what and why is going to be the reason to get Justin Fields on the field. And if he tells me or if he tells everybody, we're not good enough on the offensive line, he can't tell the media that, but we're not good up front to protect him right now. Once we are, Justin Fields will play. I could sit here and understand that. I can get that. I would still play the young man because I think he's the best Band-Aid for that football team. But I don't think Andy Dalton's performance should have any impact on when Justin Fields gets on the field.
It's a great point, Adam. What and why are some of the reasons that Matt Nagy has listed over the past couple weeks as to who plays and why he's going with Dalton now and when Fields might get on their field?
Well, I think Matt Nagy is like a lot of these other coaches facing a similar decision. They want to be careful not to ruin a young quarterback before he's ready. They want to give him time to acclimate, to go on a road trip, to see what it's like in game conditions, to see the speed of an NFL defense, to go through all the things that a new, young NFL rookie quarterback has to go through before he's put out there, not to mention the fact that the Bears' offensive line is shaky right now. So there are a lot of factors. You don't want to put him out there before you're entirely comfortable, before he's entirely comfortable. And so Justin Fields' job right now is to continue to prepare every day to get ready. We know the time is coming. Lewis believes it's coming by week 5, and we'll see when it comes. It's going to be sooner probably rather than later, but Andy Dalton right now is going to be the guy that starts out the season for Chicago.
And we need to keep playing that hit because we're talking about the offensive line and whether or not they can hold up. And when you look at that hit, you worry about Justin Fields being in the game. There it is against the Bills. Look at that. Lewis, are the Bears making the right decision to start Andy Dalton?
Yeah, I believe they are at this point in time. I really do. because I think they have thought this out all off season. Once they signed Andy Dalton, I think this was going to be the plan overall, regardless of who they brought in, regardless of who they drafted and brought in there, because Matt has been down this road. I know the situation is not the same as it was in Kansas City. It's not. And I'm not trying to draw, you know, one-to-one comparisons there, but I think he has seen the benefits of a young quarterback who still has some things to learn and some things to work on despite his wonderful talent, being able to benefit. He's seen what it's like for that kind of young man to be able to benefit from a guy who is a consummate pro, like Patrick benefited from Alex, yeah, like Justin is benefiting right now from Andy Dalton. And on top of it, I really do believe Matt when he says this, and I've talked to him about this kind of thing. I really do believe he is making this more than just about him and about his job status and basically just giving in to the tremendous pressure that the city of Chicago is putting on him. And that is to play Justin Fields right now. Put him out there. He's exciting. He can make up for all the deficiency on the offensive line. We don't care. We just want him out there. He's trying to keep that at bay because he does feel as though they have got a gem of a person and a player. And he also knows that too many hits like the one you just showed, we know what that can do to young quarterbacks. Dan knows what that can do to young quarterbacks. Yeah. You don't want to take ear hole shots like that over and over and over again and start flinching every time you're dropping back, because that will surely lead you to a short career and have someone trying to draft your replacement. He's trying to protect against that. Start Andy, but I still say by week five, he's in there.
By week five, in the meat of the schedule, which would be tough for Justin Fields to handle. That would be another tough situation he's got to deal with. All right, let's go to this. Guys, I'm going to give each of you 30 seconds to state your case for a different rookie quarterback to start week one. Lewis, state your case for Justin Fields, even though you said it's the right decision for Andy Dalton to play.
Yeah, okay, state my case for him to play. Well, have you seen him? Have you seen how fast he is and how big he is and how strong he is? And how he throws the deep ball and how he can make things right when they're going wrong. The kind of thing where a coach is sitting there on the sideline and you see coaches sitting there going, timeout, timeout, timeout. No, 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 no. Yes, 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 yes. That's it. You know, because he just does the kind of thing that you can't coach. That's why everyone wants to see Justin out there. They don't care if it's always right. They don't care if he's always in the right protection. They don't care if he always throws the football to the right person. He's just that electric. Put him in there, I guess, in that case.
I tell you what. I mean, it's hard to disagree with that if you're a fan. Chris Canty, state your case for Mac Jones.
Oh, well, Mac Jones is a special talent. I mean, just everything that he's done throughout the course of the preseason, not only just what we've seen in the games, but also throughout the practices. It feels like what he's done in the games is an extension of what we've heard about in the practices. Mm-hmm. Taking care of the football, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, making sure that the receivers get the ball in positions where they can do what they do best. But most importantly, being able to adapt to the speed of the game and showing the command of the operation. There's nothing not to love about what Mac Jones has done up until this point, and that's why, in my mind, it's his job to lose with the Patriots.
Okay, let's finish up in San Francisco. But before we do, take a listen to what Kyle Shanahan had to say about his team's quarterback battle.
What do you gain by not naming a starting quarterback at this time?
I look at more as what do you gain by naming it. You know, there would be one reason I can think of by naming it that would help, and be to end those questions. I know you guys want an answer and stuff, which is fine. I get the suspense of it, but I mean, I'm not just going to answer it to end your guys' suspense. So,
suspense is great. Keep going.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, I'll try to get you more clicks.
Getting cute with the media. I get that. So, Dan, I want you to state your case for Trey Lance.
Yeah, I would start Trey Lance because he's RG3 plus Cam Newton. You know, This guy is such a special talent in today's football in 2021 in his ability to be a runner. And we've only seen 5% of what he's going to be capable of doing in this Kyle Shanahan offense. Are there going to be lows? Yes. I've seen lows with Jimmy Garoppolo when it comes to the turnovers. But the highs are just going to be unmatched by Jimmy Garoppolo. With as creative and as smart a coach that Kyle Shanahan is, he's going to minimize those weaknesses of Trey Lance. And I'm looking at a kid that's very intelligent, great work ethic, and crazy talented. I'd go.
And by the way, you put together some tape that illustrates why this kid has so much potential, right?
Yeah, especially as a passer, Ryan, not even as a runner. But I'm looking at him as a developmental prospect when it comes to throwing the football. The bottom line is every play for a quarterback has an opportunity and every play has a problem. It's your job to figure that out. Okay, last week against the Chargers, pay attention to this tight end up top. That tight end is going to motion down. I mentioned Kyle Shanahan being such a creative play caller, great with his design. Now, as he motions down, pay attention to those two defenders for the Chargers. When he goes in motion, they're going to start talking to each other. Now, Trey Lance is paying attention. Okay, they start talking to each other. That's a safety on the tight end. That's man-to-man coverage, okay? Now, it's man-to-man across the board. He's got press man across the board. What's the opportunity for the play? The opportunity is going to be Travis Benjamin on an in-breaking route right here. Now, I told you it's man-to-man. This linebacker right here is attached to that tailback. Wherever that tailback goes, that linebacker has to follow. The opportunity is that throw. Well, what's the problem? This problem here is that linebacker. One guy has the tailback. That other linebacker doesn't have any responsibility. His job, read the quarterback. The quarterback's eyes will tell you where he's going to go with the football. Trey Lance does a fantastic job of realizing, okay, my opportunity is the in route. Now, he's looking up top going, I'm not going through a progression. I'm handling the problem. I'm going to try to move that linebacker who's following my eyes to open up a bigger window to make that throw. He comes back, one hitch, and delivers that absolute rifle to Benjamin. Now, the back angle is beautiful. Now, pay attention. That's number 31. That's the guy who's the problem. Where is he located? 31 is basically on that hash, okay? He's right on that hash. He's got no responsibilities. The opportunity throw is coming from the right side of the screen on that wrapped-in route. Really pay attention to where this guy is located. Trey Lance is going to catch that snap and move him. He's just going to move him just a little bit as he's staring to the left. Come on, linebacker. I know you're the problem. Let me move you over. He's going to move that linebacker and come back and throw. Now, remember, he started on the hash. He's about 2 to 3 yards now outside of that hash. Now, pay attention to where the ball is thrown. The ball gets caught right there. Where? Right on that hash. That linebacker started on the hash but got moved over. If Trey Lance did not move him, that ball doesn't get completed to Travis Benjamin. That's a beautiful job of a quarterback who's very young, realizing when I get to the line of scrimmage, okay, I got an opportunity here to get this in route to Benjamin, but I also got a problem. You got to know who the problem is and what you have to do to solve it. For me, Trey Lance is showing me that he's understanding that. I would make him my starter.
Damn, brilliant illustration. And think about this. This is a kid who took a handful of snaps in college, and he's already able to do things like you just showed. Incredible talent there in San Francisco. Great job, Dan. Thanks so much. Now, talking about quarterbacks, Carson Wentz is one of the NFL's biggest mysteries. Can he regain that form that he had in his best days in Philly? If so, what does that look like? The answer is coming up next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Say, who do you think you are? I'm a...
Rattler, what a throw. Magical by Sam Howell.
And off to the races goes Justin Ross.
Did anybody even touch Kayvon Thibodeau?
To the end zone! Touchdown, Miami!
Back with you on Get Up with the no-hitter of the night. This one from the Little League World Series, Gavin Weir in South Dakota, taking on California. That young man, the talk of the tournament. Fifth inning, Weir in a groove. Kaisu Harrison striking out, looking Weir with 10 strikeouts. Then Weir strikes out Gavin Crew. Weir now facing after that Christian Chavez. And Weir does it again, strikeout. No hitter going through five innings, fired up, fixing his cap, slapping his glove, he's ready to go. Sixth inning, closing time for Weir. And Weir facing Brandon Perez, gets him looking. Two outs away from that, no hitter. Dyson Miyake comes to the plate after that, and you see how the fans are fired up. And Weir just looks like he's in a groove, just in a zone right there. And here is the final one. Strike three gets him at first. Completing the strikeout, the no-hitter. Here he was earlier. We're on SportsCenter.
I just really love pitching. It's probably my favorite position to play. Throwing no-hitter is really cool in Williamsport. Not many people get to come here and do what I do.
I love that confidence. I love this guy. Today on ESPN, we're going to have more Little League World Series elimination games from Williamsport. The kids from Abilene, Texas, taking on Taylor, Michigan in a matinee at 3 Eastern. Then, under the lights, Hamilton, Ohio, Torrance, California. The winners are going to move on to the semifinals where South Dakota and Hawaii await. Both games are also streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Back to football, and Carson Wentz, he has become the talk of the Colts camp. He returned to practice field this week, 3 weeks after surgery to remove a broken bone from his left foot, and all indications are that Wentz is progressing nicely as he works his way back. Here's his head coach, Frank Reich, feeling the good vibes on Wentz.
I would assume no surprises or setbacks with Carson. He's been out here the last 3 days.
No, it's been all positive. And, you know, so feel very good about where he's at.
He's not playing Friday, I would assume.
That's correct.
Best to ask.
Yeah, we got to ask you a question, Frank.
All positive, all good vibes there. Let's bring everybody back. And, Adam, it really is incredible when you think that the prognosis for Wentz was being out 5 to 12 weeks. Here we are 5 weeks after him suffering that injury. And his coach is saying all signs look good.
Yeah. All signs look good, and we have reporters actually asking whether there's a chance he would even play in the Colts preseason finale Friday night. So if they're asking if he's going to play in the preseason finale on Friday night, what does that tell you about the chances that he'll be ready in 2+ weeks to open the season against the Seattle Seahawks? With the way he's looking and moving at practice, it's certainly moving in the right direction and trending towards Wentz being available to start that first game, which, again, a lot of people would have thought unthinkable once he had to have foot surgery 3 weeks ago. But he's made progress, and really the whole issue has been how he would bounce back from being at practice, moving around, would his foot have any soreness? And so far, all signs are good, positive, encouraging, and that has to be very comforting and reassuring for the Indianapolis Colts.
As well as for Carson Wentz. So, Dan Orlovsky, you've been following, watching tape on Carson Wentz for years. What do you need to see from him to know that he is ready and poised to have that success that he's had in years past?
Confidence with the football, value it, know where your eyes are supposed to be and throw the ball to the right spot. And trust that those people around you are going to go get hits as well. You know, the baseball reference. It always seemed like last year for the majority of it, he was trying to go hit home runs. Just, all right, I'm up at bat, let me go hit a home run. Not trusting that those people around him in the batting order were going to get some singles as well. And all you got to do is put a good swing on a bat. He's got talent around him. Ryan, there's a good football team in Indy. He does not have to have the thought process of, I got to go win the job, or I got to go be the early draft pick that I was, or be the MVP, or get rid of Nick Foles, or I got to go do everything myself. This is a good football team. This football team in Indy looks a lot like the football team did in 2017 in Philadelphia when he was the runaway MVP. Now, the expectations are high. Make no bones about it. I have kind of given the reasons of why the struggles were what they were. The expectations are high. This is an 11-5 football team last year. That is very much so the same team back. The same team back, but more talented. Jonathan Taylor's in his second year. Michael Pittman Jr.'s in his second year. You got a dominant offensive line, a very good defense. The expectation is for Carson Wentz to win the division and win a playoff game. And that's what they should be.
Okay, Chris. Is that what constitutes a successful season for Carson Wentz and the Colts? Division, playoff game, or is it more?
No, I think Dan is spot on. And to take it a step further, if those things don't happen, then you have to call in question why Chris Ballard made the trade in the first place. Because that's what it's ultimately about, being able to get this team to take the next step. And Dan mentioned it. You're talking about a team that had a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense from a year ago, and that was in a playoff game in Buffalo and gave the Bills all they wanted, a team that ended up being in the AFC Championship game. Right. So Carson Wentz has to show up and he has to deliver. He's got a coaching staff around him that believes in him. They're going to implement the same schemes that he had in Philadelphia when he had a successful season in 2017. So for me, there are no excuses for Carson Wentz as to why he can't take this team to where they want to go.
Lewis, how confident are you that Carson Wentz can show up and be the player that he was in his best seasons?
Look, I'm very confident simply because I'm someone who believes in the relationship aspect of this game. Mm-hmm. And I believe in the trust aspect of this game and how it positively impacts your performance. And that's not just football. That's life, period. Okay, you got people who are vouching for you and people who understand how you roll and how you vibe and how to get the best out of you. Those are the kind of things that lead ultimately to you really maximizing your potential. This was the only place that Carson really could go to in order to really maximize his potential. He has spoke glowingly about Frank Reich and his relationship and his affection for him, and then vice versa. And Chris Ballard has said, I love my locker room. I love how I built my team. This is the cherry on top that takes us to the next level. Mm-hmm. And believe it, look, he's following one of the great leaders in the NFL in Philip Rivers, mm-hmm. who is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He has to. Look, it is without a doubt win this division, get to the playoffs, win a game, challenge for the AFC title, or bust. It's that simple.
Yeah, could not be a better situation for Carson Wentz. Now, for those who spend time trying to decipher what another great football titan, Bill Belichick, does and how he what he says about his comments about his top two quarterbacks, we'll talk about that after. That's coming up on First Take, actually. What he thinks and what Belichick is saying about his quarterbacks. What does it all mean? Who has the power position in New England? First Take, taking that on, and we will be back in just a few.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance. Now, this is video from just moments ago. Mac Jones walking onto the practice field. Josh McDaniels walking with him. Now, Chris Canty, we don't like to read into this kind of thing, but let's go ahead and read into this kind of thing. What do you make of it?
Listen, I've said it all along. I think this is Mac Jones' job to lose, and every player that's played for a coach from Bill Parcells' tree knows the story of Wally Pipp, and although Cam's absence has to do with COVID protocols and not a cold, the point remains the same. Mac Jones is going to take full advantage of the opportunities that Cam left on the table this week.
Especially if he does a great job today and in the preseason. We will see on that front. In the meantime, First Take starts right now.